ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. 44-year-old Twins right-hander Bartolo Colon says he's seriously considering retirement. His next start will be Monday against the Dodgers, and that could determine what he decides. Colon lost his first start for the Twins last night. Baseball finals today. The Cubs win their sixth in a row as they sweep the Braves in Atlanta 8-2. Javier Baez with a three-run homer. The Phillies pound out 20 hits in Miami and beat the Marlins 10-3. Ninth inning in Minnesota, the Twins lead the Yankees 6-1. Seventh inning in Houston, the Mariners lead the Astros 3-1. The Indians and Giants underway, no score in the first in San Francisco. Jaguars defensive end Dante Fowler Jr. is charged with simple battery and mischief after an arrest last night. Police in St. Petersburg allege Fowler got out of his car and hit a man who made a comment about his driving. The Open Championship starts tomorrow at Royal Birkdale in England. Today, American Brant Snedeker withdraws from the tournament with a rib injury.
Right now at Pizza Hut, get 50% off all menu-priced pizzas when you order online for a limited time. That's 50% off your favorites, like hand-tossed pepperoni, meat lovers, or even original pan supreme. But hurry, this deal ends soon. No one out-pizzas the Hut.
This Sunday.
Trouble! Several cars spinning off of turn number one.
It's the 24th running of the Brickyard 400.
The number six machine slides up against the outside retaining wall.
For the second year in a row, Kyle Busch will see the checkered flag at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Catch all the excitement of the Brickyard 400 at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. This Sunday at 1:30 Eastern on the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network.
The Brickyard 400 this Sunday at 12:30 on KGYM.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Keep your windows clean and see clearer with Gunk Glass Cleaner. Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, buy one bottle of Gunk Glass Cleaner and get one free. Gunk's high-performance ingredients clean glass and hard surfaces without leaving a film or residue. Gunk Glass Cleaner, buy one, get one free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
Here's the scoop on garden soil. Sometimes it needs help from the Home Depot, where bags of Miracle-Gro garden soil are a special buy, three for just $10. It improves existing soil with nutrients plants need for stronger roots, so they'll hit the ground running, starting with much better ground. Miracle-Gro garden soil, three bags, $10. Now at the number one retailer for Scotts Miracle-Gro, the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through August 2nd while supplies last. Contiguous U.S. only. Limit 80 per customer.
Burger King presents Breakfast Stories. Here's Pete, Tony, and the 2 for $4 croissant sandwich deal.
The other day, Pete and I go to Burger King for my croissant sandwich. You know, they're just $2 for $4.
Oh, it's my favorite. I'm like, what?
Yeah, so I got two croissant sandwich, and I give one to this guy.
I'm like, who are you?
I'm the guy that just paid for your breakfast.
That's my favorite guy.
You guys, the croissant sandwich deal is $2 for $4. Now made with 100% butter for a soft and flaky croissant. Get two croissant sandwiches now for $4 only at Burger King. Price and participation vary.
They say time is money, but at Lowe's, we know that when you're a pro, money is money. So Lowe's stocks everything a pro needs at great prices every day. And right now at Lowe's, pro customers can save even more. Through August 2nd, pros get up to 20% off select Frigidaire appliances. And now through July 30th, pros get up to 20% off select Sylvania light bulbs. Hurry in and save on everything a pro needs at Lowe's. Visit the Pro Desk or lowesforpros.com for details. Selection varies by store, U.S. only.
Welcome, everyone. A steamy, hot afternoon in eastern Iowa. Another one resulted yesterday in some substantial rain in the afternoon. We'll keep our eyes to the sky, but right now the heat index is quite uncomfortable, to tell you the truth.
Very uncomfortable.
We know that. We were out at noon to another Lunchbox Heroes appearance. It was at Cargill West. We'll tell you about that. Throughout the show, a veritable smorgasbord of items to chew on today. Kirk Ferentz and players were at the podium in Iowa City today. The White Sox and Yankees struck a trade that may or may not benefit both teams. State softball tournament going on. Sub-state baseball tonight. The British Open begins tomorrow morning. And Chris Liss of rotowire.com answers your fantasy questions towards the bottom of the hour. Good afternoon, Mark Dukes alongside Kyle Mann on your hump day. Kyle's sitting in for Scott Unash. Vacationing Scott Unash. He shot 80 today, if you need to know. He is up north and not experiencing the weather that we are. But nevertheless, Kyle, great to have you along again.
It's great to be here. I'm just now getting recovered from the Lunchbox Heroes. I'm not going to lie to you. I was talking to Carol Kelly. I felt like this was... We got poured on a few weeks ago in a building that had no roof, and that was probably just like the roughest one to pull off, but today was the absolute hottest.
We were in a warehouse, but it was not air conditioned. At least we were out of the sun.
Yeah.
And not a whole lot of breeze. I don't think it was bad in the warehouse.
No.
But these guys work outside in it, guys right. and gals.
They're ready for it.
And they had a mister set up out there, and so Alex Kuhn was dominating the thing.
Oh, yeah. And thank you so much to the folks out at Cargill for bringing in the giant fans and the power breezer. We would not have been able to make it without those.
That was pretty cool. Again, we'll tell you about our Lunchbox Heroes appearance coming up soon. Let's bring you up to date on state softball in Fort Dodge. It's consolation day at the tournament. Earlier today in the 1A 7th place game, Belle Plaine defeated Montezuma 4-3. In the 5A consolation, Cedar Rapids Jefferson dropped a 10-3 decision to West Des Moines Valley, and it doesn't get any easier. In the 7th place game at 4 o'clock, the Jayhawks will play West Des Moines Dowling. The state baseball tournament field will be set tonight. Several corridor teams in action trying to land berths. Cedar Rapids Washington at home against Davenport Central. Iowa City West also at home against Davenport West. Prairie on the road at Southeast Polk, and Linmar travels to Iowa City High. Those games in 4A. In 3A, Marion trying to win its 31st game of the season will be at Solon. Vinton-Shelsburg also in action in Class 3A. In 2A, Wilton will visit Iowa City, Regina. And in Class 1A, Substate Final, Lisbon, Burlington, Notre Dame get together at Washington, Iowa. All those games begin at 7 o'clock, except that Lisbon game, which gets underway at 5. Iowa football today, and is getting that time of year. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn will be in Chicago Monday and Tuesday for Big Ten Media Days, and a lot of great guests lined up, I know, there. But Kirk Ferentz at the podium today, and a couple players spoke, and principally it was Sean Welsh. The outstanding offensive lineman, decorated, senior-to-be. And his big announcement today was that he has depression, which he has fought since 2014, causing him to miss part of a couple camps. Reported did not leave his room for 3 days at one point. He has written an op-ed, which has been circulating around Facebook and Twitter. I put it on my Twitter account earlier today. Really heartfelt article about having depression. And I can tell you from personal experience, this is a real thing. Personal experience in my family. It's not to be taken lightly. It's not something you necessarily want to wear on your sleeve. But this has obviously affected Sean Welsh in his career, and some folks out there might say, this guy's got the tiger by a tail. You know, he's progressing towards his degree. He's a decorated football player. He's a subject of adulation on Saturday afternoons. What does this guy have to be down about? Well, depression doesn't discriminate. You can be the most successful or unsuccessful person in the world, and depression can affect your life. So I applaud Sean Welsh for coming out, making the statement today. I'm sure he'll be asked about that at Big Ten Media Day and throughout next season, but it wasn't an easy thing to do, I'm sure, to put that out there.
No, and just a couple of the things that you say jumped out at me. You made the comment, it's, you know, it is a real thing, and it's, you say it's not something that you want to wear on your sleeve. It's something difficult to even express, you know, come to the realization with yourself, let alone share that with other people. But I think that right there is really maybe the biggest benefit that the Iowa community or anybody that this reaches will get from that, is that people do deal with this, and even the people who you wouldn't really think have any reason to, you know, he's a D1 athlete, he's getting a free education. Like you said, why would he be depressed? But he has a great quote in the article. It doesn't discriminate. It can reach anybody. And I think that just for somebody like him in the position that he is, where he has this platform, you know, this article is making its circulation around the internet incredibly quickly. I see it already on the ESPN website. And that's really just the best part about this whole thing, is just awareness. Awareness is such a trigger word, but that's exactly what this is going to do, is, you know, show to other people who might be going through similar things that a lot of people go through this, and you can come back from it.
And Sean Welsh in his article wrote just that. He hopes it will help other people that are afflicted by depression. And I think it's misunderstood because we toss being depressed around so lightly. Oh, I'm depressed. I'm down. No, you're not. You don't have depression. You're just down. You're down on your luck. You'll bounce back. Depression is a much more serious thing. And Welsh has sought help. He's gotten on medication, and he's going to have to deal with this probably the rest of his life, which is an uncomfortable thing, but if it can be managed, you can much easier get through life, I think.
Exactly. He says that part of the reason, or at least the root cause for his depression, could be related to genetics, and he says that he's always going to have a predisposition to it. So, you know, he comes out and he writes this piece, and it's, you know, it's not like it's going to go away. You know, it's not like now that he's gone public with it, you know, it's not fixed. It's not gone, but it's going to be a load off of his chest, and it's going to be much, much easier for him to deal with now that he can be honest about it. And he makes another remark somewhere in here about, you know, after he shared with the team and the coaches and all that, about how much support he's gotten and how much better it's gotten.
319-366-1600 is our phone line, and our Ask Investment Services text line. Sorry, Jerry. If you'd like to know more, go to jkainvest.com. Also at the Iowa outing today, Kirk Ferentz reported that Matt Vandenberg, wide receiver, and Nate Budget, a defensive lineman, are either at or near full health, and that's a good thing, because both areas of the Iowa football squad need every bit of depth I can possibly use there. And Kirk Ferentz expressed confidence that whichever quarterback, Nathan Stanley, Tyler Wiegers, whichever one emerges, he has full confidence in. What else would a head coach say? But that position has not been decided as yet. We're going to have audio of all this on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. It's being put together right now, so stay tuned from 4 to 7 for that audio. Another trade in baseball, Kyle, and it involved the White Sox and the Yankees. And my initial impression was twofold. The Yankees got better, and the White Sox got better in 2020. The White Sox are compiling an unreal stockade of talent.
Yeah.
And we don't know how many of these guys are going to pan out, but in the trade, the White Sox got the Yankees' number one draft pick. And I guess your reaction to the trade?
My first reaction, I mean, for the Yankees, okay, they're going to get some pieces that they need, which is they're going to slide Frazier in to play some first base, be able to help them deal with the injury to Greg Bird and some of the things that they're going through. They also get a couple pitchers. But my initial reaction was to look at what the White Sox are continuing to do, and that is incredibly fun to watch what they're doing. And this was just obviously another in a long line of moves that they've made recently to build up that farm system. But it kind of put things in perspective. They got, depending what site you're looking at, they got a Blake Rutherford, who's the Yankees' third or fourth best prospect, and the 30th best overall. He goes into that White Sox system. He's the sixth best prospect for the Sox. Mm-hmm. They've got six of the top 30. That's 20% of that top 30 prospect belong to the Sox, and then 10 of the top 100. So I'm having a lot of fun watching them rebuild that farm system as quickly and as impressively as they have.
Yeah, the Yankees acquiring third baseman Todd Frazier, who can also play some first base. Relievers David Robertson and Tommy Kienle. You know about Robertson. He was in New York at one time. He's considered a top-level reliever. And Kienle actually is having a very good year for Chicago. Tyler Clippard goes to the White Sox along with those prospects. So as the Yankees battle the Red Sox and Tampa Bay in the American League East, you know, maybe it forces Boston's hand or Tampa's hand into making a move to counter it.
You would really think so, because the Yankees now have really, it's not even just a good, it's not necessarily even just a great bullpen. You can go to pretty much anybody out of the bullpen for the Yankees and feel really, really good in a close game in the eighth or ninth inning. They are absolutely loaded. And so if I'm the Red Sox, I look at that and I'm thinking maybe we need to make sure that we have the pitching to match up with that down a stretch run, or maybe we need some offense to make sure we can hit all those guys. But whatever it's going to be, that Yankees bullpen is daunting, and somebody better is probably going to have to make a move for it to be able to beat that.
Afternoon baseball, it appears the Twins have disposed of the Yankees, winning 2 out of 3 in that series. Trying to get you the final score here. Apologies for the slow computer.
6-1.
6-1, the Twins finishing it off. Former Cedar Rapids Colonel Zach Granite getting his first run scoring hit as a Minnesota Twin with a 2-run single. Miguel Sano followed up with a 3-run homer. So nice win for the Twins, not so much for the Yankees. The Cubs, what is that, 6 in a row now?
That's 6 in a row. Starting the second half with two sweeps.
Chicago Cubs beating the Atlanta Braves 8-2 today. Philadelphia defeating Miami 10-3. And you have some partials there, Kyle?
About the Cubs?
No. Seattle up on Houston 4-1, end of the seventh inning. Colorado defeating San Diego 6-0 in the third. Tampa Bay and Oakland scoreless in the third. And Cleveland trailing San Francisco right now at the end of 2. On the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line, we knew this was coming.
Yep.
91-21.
Look out, Brewers. Here comes the Cubs. When the Cubs pass the Brewers in the division, they won't let anyone pass them. How do you two think the Cubs will do against the Dodgers if they end up playing them in the playoffs? I think it would be a great series with the Cubs wanting to defend the title and the Dodgers playing unbelievable baseball. I would have to, it would be a good series, but for right now, believe me, I am as excited about this Cubs start to the second half as anybody, but all we've really seen so far is, we have seen 44 runs in 6 games, and that's great. That is, to see the offense really wake up like they never really did through the whole first half, that's great. But the real test is going to go, we've got to go through the starting rotation a second, maybe even a third time, and see how that starting rotation is going to do for them. Arrieta was shaky through the whole first half, but he's looked good in his one start in the second half. And Quintana obviously looked really good in his first start, but we got a long way to go. It would be a good series, but I'm going to pump the brakes a little bit before I absolutely say that the Cubs are ready to go toe-to-toe with the Dodgers.
Well, when the Cubs can... Listen, this is Baltimore and Atlanta, and...
Exactly.
They're teams that the Cubs should beat. So I applaud the Cubs for going out and doing just that.
Mm-hmm.
But it is the Orioles and a plummeting Atlanta Braves team. We'll see. We got the Cardinals at home this weekend. Huge rivalry. They'll play Milwaukee again, I'm sure, multiple times. And we'll see. You know, Cub fans didn't want to get too low when this team was under 500. Now maybe, as you said, maybe pump the brakes and see what happens, you know, in the next couple, 3 weeks. Perhaps the texter will be right. The Cubs will wrestle the division lead away from the Brewers, and that'll be that.
If I was looking at the schedules last night, and if I remember correctly, we should have a really good idea of how this division could shake up down the second half, or at least see how these teams have jumped out the gates, and we'll get a good picture of that pretty quickly, because concurrently the Cubs are going to have a series coming up with the Cardinals and the Brewers with the Phillies, so the Cubs are going to have to make sure that they take care of those games so the Brewers don't pull away. But then right after that, the Brewers are dealing with the Nationals. That'll be a tough series for them while the Cubs are playing the Sox. And then, leading into the trade deadline, Cubs-Brewers. So that Cubs-Brewers series could be very interesting.
A lot of interesting baseball yet to be played, but at least the Cubs are off to an interesting start and making things more and more interesting in the National League Central. Speaking of interesting, at 3:21 on the show, I saw a heck of a story on KCRG TV9 last night by Katie Wiedemann. And she was in Farley, where a young man, preteen, I think, his name's Cade Messer. And Cade Messer has organized a what's called the South Lake Wiffle Ball League.
Wiffle ball.
He's got six teams, I think three or four men on each team, or kids on each team. So close to a couple dozen youngsters involved. And the wiffle ball field is in the Messer's family backyard. It's a big backyard, but a fence has been erected, foul poles, bases, a home plate. They got a scoreboard that a younger Messer operates. And
a little brother.
This story struck me from multiple levels because aside from conducting the league, there's going to be a tournament this weekend, I believe, a fundraiser for a neighbor girl, Jackie Kleesner, who has cancer. So not only is this kid, you know, doing something that's going to benefit someone who has cancer, but, and I don't want to sound like the old guy, remember back in the old days, but I think it's a well-known fact kids don't get outside and play like they used to. Whether they're on their iPad or computer or what have you. And this guy has organized the lead. Kids are outside having a ball. He keeps stats. He's going to have an all-star game. He's going to have a tournament at the end of the year. I thought it was just a great story and took me back to my days playing wiffle ball and Indian ball. And, you know, I rarely was it a summer afternoon I didn't spend. I grew up in Cedar Hills and spent it over at Truman Elementary with a few of the neighbor guys and, you know, playing either a wiffle ball or hardball, you know, Indian ball, right field close type thing, you know, because you didn't have enough players to cover all the positions. And that was that, you know. It was fun times. And these kids look like they're having fun.
Hopefully. And, I mean, what you say is true. Even just in the time since I was a kid to now, which has only been about, you know, 15 years or so, kids don't want to go outside because they don't really have to. They can have all the fun that they want just sitting right there in their living room. And I remember last summer, I thought it was hilarious. Do you remember that? You remember the game Pokemon Go?
Barely.
Yeah, barely is right. It lasted for one summer, and everyone thought it was the craziest thing because there was this computer game tricking kids into going outside. They thought it was the greatest
thing. That's when people are all over town trying to find these damn things, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And the kids are calling each other up and being like, hey, maybe we should go outside. But anyway, yeah, it's great. It's great that this Wiffle Ball League is letting kids get outside and, you know, have fun with each other. But I also think really great for this kid, just as a teenager, to, you know, to pick out a neighbor girl of his and not just, you know, have this fun wiffle ball tournament, but to actually try to find something truly beneficial in it and help a friend of his. I think that's great. And that, hats off to that kid and the parents.
Yeah, go to KCRG's website and find the story. It's a story out of Farley. Teen Terms Family's Backyard into a Wiffleball League is the title of the story, again reported by Katie Wiedemann last night, and I also shared it on my personal Facebook page. And I just thought it was a wonderful story, wonderful cause, and I think more kids ought to do it. I challenge you this afternoon. Now tomorrow, today might not be a representative day because it's so hot. But go ahead and drive around, check out all the ball fields at elementary schools, high schools, neighborhoods. See if anybody's using them. And I guarantee you it's a very small percentage of them being used. Again, today's not a great example, but it's something you just don't see anymore. It's kind of a throwback, and hopefully it catches on and a lot more kids do things like this, because it's really innocent fun, and it's great stuff.
It is.
Congratulations to Caden Messer and all the kids in the South Lake Wiffleball League. Actually, I have a website. I haven't checked it out yet, but it's a South Lake Wiffleball League. And I guess Cade keeps stats of everybody and schedules and whatnot. I'm going to check it out.
I want to see the dynamic between he and the younger Messer who runs the scoreboard.
Yeah.
They're like, what? I want to play. No, you run the scoreboard. I want to watch that.
Yeah, he's not quite old enough to compete with these kids, I don't think. But one day, he'll probably take over Cade's program. Hey, let's step aside, getting towards the bottom of the hour. Covered a lot of ground so far already. But we want to hook up with Chris Liss. We haven't visited with Chris for a while. A lot has happened in terms of the National Football League, Major League Baseball, and fantasy items. So we'll visit with Chris after this.
Celebrate the Cedar Rapids Fire and Police Departments for Guns and Hoses Night this Thursday at the Colonel's. Bid on special fire and police themed game-worn jerseys sponsored by Firehouse Subs and Big Dog Satellite. Visit colonels.com to get your tickets now for the best party in town and party at the park with the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Hey, hey, Colonels, let the good times roll. Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
My name is Victoria Rios, Environmental Health and Safety Coordinator at Cargill West. We built, in the last 2 years, we built the new extraction building, TVP tower, and ENF tank farm. I was contacted by Built by Pros and KGYM Radio to come out to our site and show appreciation for the hard work that has been done here and through our corridor. So they asked me if we could come to the site, and I said, sure, bring it.
Well, another edition of Lunchbox Heroes brought to you by Built by Pros in the books this noon hour as we stop by the Cargill West plant. Met with dozens of workers, men and women, very instrumental in work in the corridor. This is our second trip there, actually, in the last couple years. And we were pleased to feed them, converse with them, give away a few prizes, and just let them kick back for just a short period of time during their hot work day today. Built by Pros program couldn't be possible without our sponsors, Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust, Chick-fil-A at Lindale, Acme Tools, Mediacom, Dr. Pepper, the Cedar Rapids Colonels, 7G Distributing, Star Equipment, Wild Hog Saloon in Walford, Red Wing Shoes, Air Gas, and of course, KGYM. We'll be back at it next week.
Play real pool. Yeah, the kind manly men play at TCB Pool Hall. TCB isn't one of those joints with a quarter pool table stuck in the back room for atmosphere. No. TCB is a pool hall. 10 full-size tables you rent by the hour. But you got to be 21 to get in, because any regulation game of pool requires something cold in your hand. Pool, cold beer, TCB Pool Hall on the Ped Mall, next to Mondo Saloon, downtown Iowa City.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, that's really easy.
What a great selection.
People everywhere love the all-new BillionAuto.com. It has a great new look, it's super easy to use, and has over 7,000 new and used vehicles to choose from. Plus, you can compare true lease prices across multiple brands with just a few taps and swipes. These aren't national offers, but special lease prices found conveniently in one place. Tap, swipe, lease. The all-new BillionAuto.com. Opinions stated are actor portrayals.
It's only 50 days until the NFL kicks off the 2017 season. Don't miss a minute of the action. Get NFL Red Zone from NFL Network now. Every game, Sunday, Monday, and Thursday. NFL Red Zone from NFL Network is available on Mediacom. Call 855-MEDIACOM to order now.
You'll probably find them either on the golf course or at the bowling alley. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, The Gym Class on KGYM.
Welcome back. We're at the bottom of the hour on the Wednesday edition of The Gym Class. Mark Dukes alongside Kyle Mann today. Scott Unash is enjoying the last of his vacation for 2017, I think, anyway. I know so. But, yeah, I checked out that South Lake. Just Google South Lake Wiffle Ball League and click on the first item that comes out. It's a heck of a website. I mean, it's got rosters, schedules, standings, game results, you know, paragraphs on just about every game. I mean, tournament rules, whatnot.
Beat reporters?
I think Cade Messer is a beat reporter, commissioner, and all things above. So, again, a fun story. Right now, a guy we haven't talked to for just a bit, that's Chris Liss, our fantasy football expert from rotowire.com. Hello, Chris.
What's going on, Mark? How you doing?
I'm doing well. Sorry Scott is not here, but Kyle's sitting in today. We've got some questions, and if anybody on the text line would like to pose a question for Chris, go ahead, 319-366-1600. Been a lot of trades lately, Chris, in Major League Baseball. Ask you about Jose Quintana. Can you ride him the rest of the year? He's already pretty good.
Well, I just took out 13 in his first start. It was like, oh, okay, you gave up Eloy Jimenez for me. Okay, fine, I got to take this seriously. obviously, it's a big upgrade to go to the NL and to get out of the park that he was in. I think he's, top 20 starter the rest of the way, and I think you can, you know, no pitcher has been safe this year except for like two or three of them, but I think he's relatively safe.
Yeah, anything else in the transaction area in Major League Baseball trip your trigger?
Well, I think that, J.D. Martinez going to a real hitter's park in Arizona is good. It probably spells the end for Yasmani Tomas, who was on the DL, and I don't really see where he plays now that Martinez is there. And then the trades for the Yankees, you know, Todd Frazier gets another good park to hit in. If you can handle a 200 batting average, you might get 15 home runs the rest of the way. Dave Robertson loses the closer role. Nobody really knows who's going to close in Chicago because Forzak may do it for now, but he may get moved too. And then who is it going to be, Tyler Clippert or some random person? It's hard to say.
In terms of football, we had a debate yesterday about Ezekiel Elliott. The NFL has not yet passed down any, if any, punishment related to the domestic abuse situation, but he's also involved, you know, and then three or four other incidents lately, including a speeding ticket and, a bar altercation, which individually, you know, you'd probably just shrug your shoulders. But from a fantasy standpoint, you know, is this another Le'Veon Bell situation where this guy's going to have to sit out four games? Just your thoughts on this guy.
Yeah, it's weird. There's nothing he's done that the police have prosecuted yet. We'll see what happens in the bar fight. But, you know, speeding is, not like he was drunk driving, he was just speeding. Individually, it's not much, you know, the PR, you know, the media gets cranking with the PR on this stuff, and then, you know, the NFL feels like maybe it has to do something. I guess I would bet I'm pricing about a two-game suspension right now at this point. I don't know if they have anything on him. I mean, it's possible, you know, he was accused of domestic violence, but it was, you know, the case was never brought, and, you know, we've seen the police dismiss cases like, you know, Ray Rice not even bring a case, not even, you know, really get him in real trouble before. So we can't say that it didn't happen just because they didn't do anything, but then we also can't say that it did happen. So the NFL is looking at it. Since we haven't seen sort of the raw evidence and, you know, the testimony. It's really speculative at this point. But I think just popped in about a two-game suspension to be safe. If he gets worse than that, then, you know, then you lost your bet. If he doesn't get suspended, then you won your bet. And I'd still take him in the top five or six picks.
Yeah, I think so, too. And, it's not – the Tom Brady Deflategate suspension was, you know, that was four games. And I remember I took Carr early, and Brady was still around, like sixth, seventh round. I'm saying, God, I'm still going to get this guy for 12 games, and it worked out pretty good.
Yeah, it worked out very well if you got Brady as your quarterback last year and waited out the games. I mean, you can wait out two games. It's easier to wait out a quarterback, right, because it's so easy in a one-quarterback league to find a Carr or a Stafford or Eli or whoever, Andy Dalton, for four games, right? With running back, it's a little harder. There's not necessarily a legit starter that's available for the two or four or however many games yet. But you can, you know, sort of, if it's PPR, you can get Theo Riddick for a couple games and get, you know, four catches for 40 yards and 20 yards rushing, get 10 points from that and kind of make do while you're waiting for Elliott.
We've got a question from the text line, this one from Ryan from Walford. Who's a player that is going to be considered right there kind of as a consensus first-round pick, but is somebody that you wouldn't really touch or advise drafting?
Well, there's a couple of guys. I'm not saying I wouldn't touch them at the right price, but where they're going, sort of, you know, middle first round, I'm probably not going to have any shares of Mike Evans, and I'm probably not going to have any shares of LeSean McCoy. The reason for Evans is that he had a great year last year, but it was target-driven. He had 173 targets leading the NFL. They brought in a lot of new faces to compete for those targets. And I just don't think if you give Mike Evans the same number of targets as Odell Beckham and A.J. Green and Julio Jones, that he's as good as those guys as a real-life receiver. So he's going to get less per target, and he's going to do less, he's going to have less production. I think at the end of the first round, it's fine. Mid-first, where he's going, I'm not biting. LeSean McCoy is the other one. He was great last year. 5.4 yards per carry is just off the charts. He caught a lot of passes, too. But, you know, he's not that old because he started so young in the NFL, but he's got about 2,000 career carries under his belt. I just don't think his best days are ahead. He may have one more great year, and you may do fine taking him, but I'd rather get out a year too early than a year too late.
Visiting with Chris Liss, our friend from rotowire.com. It's been a while. I'm sure you have questions in your fantasy football preparations, maybe a little bit on Major League Baseball. Give us a text, 319-366-1600. Chris, the Redskins and Kirk Cousins were unable to reach an agreement on a long-term contract before the deadline on Monday. What's going on here?
I mean, Daniel Snyder is, you know, now that Donald Sterling is out of sports, maybe Daniel Snyder is arguably the worst owner in professional sports. I mean, now they're trying to sort of demonize Cousins in the media and make him seem greedy when, you know, the players are non-guaranteed contracts getting concussed and permanent damage, and the, you know, billionaire owners' franchise values are just skyrocketing right now. So it's pretty, you know, it's just pretty low. I think that, you know, people don't want to play there. You know, I mean, obviously, to get an opportunity when you're drafted by a team to be a star quarterback and command that kind of money, you're going to play wherever you can. But then once you've established yourself, you know, you're not getting any hometown discounts. Kirk Cousins averaged 8 yards per passing attempt. He wants a, you know, a Joe Flacco, Andy Dalton probably type contract, and the Redskins aren't ponying up, so you know, he'll play this year, and I think maybe next year he'll be a free agent.
Guys like Todd Gurley, DeAndre Hopkins, and Lamar Miller, if you can believe it, I had all three of those guys on one team last year. But you look at guys
who... Allen Robinson, too?
No, gladly. I would not have been able to survive. But you look at some of those guys who had huge expectations last year and flopped awfully. Who are some of those guys who you might expect to bounce back this year?
Yeah, I mean, Gurley's kind of a wild card. I just took him in the third round. He fell to the mid-third in this league I was doing, and I just took him because I was like, you know what? I'm not sure if he's going to bounce back, but if he does, this is going to be a really good pick. So he's one. The problem with Hopkins and Robinson is they're still tied to really bad quarterback situations. You know, I mean, last year, Osweiler was worse than we could have imagined, but now they've got Tom Savage and, you know, Deshaun Foster and Deshaun Watson, and it's not... it may not get much better, you know, and you don't need to have a great quarterback. When Hoyer was there, and Hoyer's not very good, that was good enough for Hopkins to have a huge year. But you need to have a certain floor, and clearly Osweiler was below that floor. Bortles last year was below that floor. And so, you know, the question is, can they get to that floor? Can Watson be at that floor? I don't know. So that's why I'm not too keen on that. I think Gurley, out of the three, is probably the safest because you know he's going to get a 250 carries. It's just sort of, this new regime, can they have a credible offense? And the answer is, I'm not sure.
I know you've been involved in several drafts already, Chris. At least I assume so. I know the big Caesars Palace draft was in Vegas recently, and
yep. You
held the sixth pick, and I'm looking at it now, but you tell us and the listeners how you thought it went with the number six pick.
Well, that's the really small one that we did. That was the one we did that's just like $20 a pop among the staff. That one went fine. You know, that's a tough one for me usually because basically there's a lot of non-football guys from Redwire who are in it. We're in our company Vegas trip every year. And they just dropped off of my cheat sheet. So I'm basically drafting against 11 of me. So it's very hard for me to get any players I like. And so I would pass on that one. But I'll tell you, last night I drafted from the 7-hole in the NFC, and this is a big stake. If you win the whole thing, there's like 2,000 teams. You win $100,000, and you win $1,500 if you win your league. And I drafted 7th, and I took AJ Green over the second tier of running backs. I took him over Mike Evans. And this is a 3-wide receiver PPR with a flex. I took Brandon Cooks in the 2nd, Gurley I was talking about in the 3rd, Golden Tate in the 4th. I am, even though running backs crushed it last year, I am going to go heavy receiver in full PPR with 3 receivers in a flex leagues because I think last year was kind of an anomaly. I don't think that's a new trend.
Yeah, it used to be hop on running backs and then go from there. Not so anymore. Or is it?
Well, it used to be running back, right. And then for the last 4 years or so, with the NFL becoming passing league and 3 receivers becoming standard and then flex positions and then PPR becoming common, people started pounding the receivers. And last year, everybody pounded the receivers more than ever, and it was the 1 year where all the running backs, the running backs had dominated last year. David Johnson, Lev Bell, Elliott, even LeGarrette Blount had more non-PPR points than Antonio Brown. There were 8 running backs in non-PPR that outscored the top receiver last year. So it was so running back favorable. But that was, to me, just how it shook out, and I don't think that's representative of how it's going to be going forward. So I'm still, for the most part, all things being equal, going to take receivers.
Are people hot over Leonard Fournette?
I think people see the upside. He's going to get a lot of work in early downs for sure. I don't know. On 3rd down, he may come out for Yeldon. Jacksonville D is supposed to be better. They may run and play defense more. He's a major talent come out of college. Scouting-wise, I've read that he's the best prospect since Adrian Peterson, but, they say that about everybody. Probably said that about Trent Richardson, too. I think, he's like a 3rd-round pick in a PPR league, but he's going, top 3 rounds in almost every draft I've been in.
I thought this was a pretty interesting offseason in terms of you had some really interesting players go to some new teams. You mentioned one of them, Brandon Cooks, to the Patriots. You've got Adrian Peterson to the Saints, Brandon Marshall even to the Giants. Who are some of the players who moved teams this offseason who might really have some good years this year?
I really like Cooks. The argument against Cooks, and I think this could be true, is if Edelman gets his 140 targets again, and Gronk is healthy, Cooks will be like Deshaun Jackson. He'll be their deep threat. He'll get 100 targets. He'll get 7 touchdowns. He'll get 1,000 yards. And that's what he'll get. But, the Patriots are not a type of team that prizes loyalty. They're not going to say, Julian Edelman's just done so much for us. He's a veteran. He's one of our guys. He's won 2 Super Bowls. We can't kick him to the curb. The Patriots don't care about that. So if Cooks is running the Edelman route 100 times better than Edelman, remember, Cooks is 23, Edelman's 31. Cooks ran a 4.3, 3.40. Edelman like a 4 or 5 something. If he's just amazingly good at all arounds, which I think he is, and much quicker than Edelman, which he is, the Patriots might say, hey, Edelman, go return punts. Go take 50 targets this year. They're not going to force it to Edelman just because he's one of their guys. Now, Edelman may be so useful to them in a different way in his rapport with Brady that he may keep the targets. But if he does not, and Cooks gets 150 targets, you could be looking at a top 5 receiver.
A guy you don't like either is Jordy Nelson. Why?
Jordy Nelson is now, 32?
Mm-hmm.
He had a great year last year, but he's not the same guy he was from 2010 to 2014. 2011 to 2014. Those years, he was averaging, 15 yards a catch, 11, 10 yards a target. I mean, he and Deshaun Jackson were the per-play kings of the NFL. Last year, he slipped down to 8.3 yards per target, and even the second half, he got up to 9.5, but that was all short stuff. He just caught everything thrown his way. So he and Rodgers have a great rapport. He got the most red zone looks in the NFL by far last year. He had 31. The next highest was 23. So he does that again. He'll get his double-digit touchdowns. I think he's, good for 10 touchdowns and 1,100 yards. I just don't think he's a true first-round pick because he's not the explosive player that he used to be. And he's getting up there in age where there could be a real drop. And Davante Adams has emerged as another red zone target. And Cobb is still there. So I still like Nelson. I just don't want him with my first round pick.
I love Jordan Howard. I don't know whether he can take that absolute next step and become a star. But I wonder what your thoughts are in terms of you know, where what to expect out of Howard and where you might slot him in, say, a 10 or 12 team league?
I have him sort of end of first, early second, you know, 12th, 13th overall, maybe 14th overall. He's on a bad team, that hurts, but he was very good last year. He averaged 5.2 yards per carry on a pretty bad team. And he seems like a legitimately good back. The question is, can he catch 40 or 45 passes this year instead of 27 to 30? Maybe. You know, Jeremy Langford is still hurt. There's not a whole lot of depth, so maybe.
You put out a great book every year, Chris, and I wondered in that process, either what did you find out that you didn't really realize, or what was the biggest challenge of putting together this year's book?
Well, I don't want to bore you guys with the technical stuff, but there's something that our layout guy asked us to do that was really annoying. but I learned, you know, it's like I write up the receiver one every year, and like I always, like, as I'm researching stuff that I think off the top of my head, as I go deeper, I realize, you know, like I never liked Golden Tate. He's sort of a short pass catcher, but if you look at what he did after week four, when for some reason Marvin Jones' first 4 weeks was a monster and then he disappeared, I mean, Golden Tate is far and away Matt Stafford's number one receiver. And Matt Stafford is not a great quarterback, but what he does all the time is check down. He just throws short passes. And Golden Tate led the NFL in yards after the catch. So if you're in a full PPR league with three receivers, you know, I give you permission to take Golden Tate. If it's a non-PPR, don't even bother because he doesn't catch touchdowns. But guys like that, things like that I learned, like little things like, oh, wow, I'm instinctively down on Golden Tate, but actually he's a really good value in a full PPR in the fourth round.
Great stuff again, Chris. The time is near, if not here. Fantasy football drafts on the way. And RotoWire is a must for anybody that plays. Tell them all about it.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. If you enjoy the segment and you want to get more, you can get it for free. RotoWire.com/trial is a free 10-day trial. You do not need a credit card. There's no canceling or stopping it. You don't have to do anything. RotoWire.com/trial, free 10 days. Check out all our projected stats. You can customize your exact league settings. You can get all the latest news, depth charts, everything. Again, RotoWire.com/trial.
As always, appreciate it, Chris. Be well. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Thanks, guys. You too. Take care.
Chris Liss, rotowire.com. If you missed anything he had to say, our podcast will be up shortly after the show concludes. Let's get to a break and go to the last few minutes of the gym class here on KGYM.
It's all-pro tight end Rob Gronkowski, and nothing fuels my patented Gronk spike like all-natural Oberto beef jerky. Lean beef, slow-cooked, and seasoned to perfection. It's all-natural and all-delicious. Don't take a chance with some wimpy snack. Go with protein-packed, all-natural Oberto Beef Jerky.
Oberto Beef Jerky. You get out what you put in.
Refers to Oberto's all-natural line of beef jerky. Minimally processed, no artificial ingredients.
At Valero, we believe life gets lived between every fill-up. So whether you go down the road on two wheels or four, whether your Wednesday night is spent racing to the grocery store or down a track, and whether you're dropping off the mail, the pizza, the kids, for all of the above, we're here to make sure you're never running on empty. Valero top-tier certified quality fuel keeps your engine running cleaner, better, and longer. Find a station near you at valerocleangas.com.
If there's one thing the pros at Advance Auto know, it's parts.
Advance Auto Parts and Batteries. This is Steven. How can I help you?
Hey, Steven. I'm wondering if you have any deals on oil this month?
Yeah, we're running 5 quarts of Pennzoil, conventional, or high mileage for $19.99, the pure liter filter.
Okay, sounds good.
And be sure to sign up for Speed Perks, even more savings.
Awesome. Thanks.
Now at Advance Auto, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil conventional or high mileage motor oil and a pure liter filter for just $19.99 after $5 mail-in rebate. See store for details. Also at participating CarQuest Auto Parts stores.
Once upon a time, there was a new crossover that refused to play by the rules. It flipped the script and made all the others look like fools. Featuring styling that's sexier by far and handles like a rock star. Introducing the first ever Toyota CHR.
Enjoy agile handling in the body of a seductive crossover that comes with standard 18-inch alloy wheels. The first ever Toyota CHR. The perfect ride to spin your own tail. Toyota. Let's go places.
Play the greens and save some green now at St. Andrews Golf Club. Monday through Friday before 1 and after 5, ride 18 holes for $23. Bring your juniors with you because kids 12 and under play free anytime Monday through Friday. And on weekday evenings, take in a relaxing 18 holes with a cart for just $23 too. Only at St. Andrews Golf Club, 1866 Blair's Ferry Road, Northeast in Cedar Rapids. All items subject to sales tax. Special prices for walk-ins only, not scheduled outings.
The rotary phone. The cassette tape. Back when you needed those low-tech devices, your insurance company also needed three estimates for vehicle damage. Well, times have changed. Now you've got a sleek cell phone, and you decide where to take your vehicle to be fixed. Bob Mickey Collision Center works with all insurance companies, but they work for you. Nowadays, it's your car. It's your choice. Choose Bob Mickey Collision Center. Center Point Road, just off the Collins Road exit from 380 in Cedar Rapids.
Your kids can't wait to play football, so sign them up for the Metro Youth Football Association's 2017 season. There's a new flag football program for third graders with pads to introduce tackle techniques with no kid-to-kid contact. Fourth through eighth graders play tackle, and everybody will learn and have a blast. Your child's safety is Metro Youth's first priority, with only high-quality fitted youth equipment and all coaches certified with USA Football. Practice begins August 14th, and equipment fittings have already started. So register now at MetroYouthFootball.com. Mike and Mike on the Gym is presented by Hertine and Stalker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets, downtown Iowa City. Stop in and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Two hosts born and raised in Eastern Iowa, talking Eastern Iowa sports. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class, KGYM.
Welcome back. 3:51 on the Gym Class on this Wednesday. Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann in the pilot seat today. Scott Unash will return next week from his vacation up north. Let's bring you up to date again on the state softball tournament. Earlier today, Belle Plaine won its seventh place game over Montezuma, 4-3. Jefferson dropped a 10-3 decision to West Des Moines Valley. The Jayhawks will compete for seventh place here in about 10 minutes against West Des Moines Dowling. Tomorrow, several area teams try to punch their tickets to state championship games. Among them, Cedar Rapids Kennedy, which won its first game at the state tournament in 35 years yesterday. Kennedy, along with Iowa City, Regina, Center Point, Urbana, Mount Vernon, Lansing Key, and Sigourney. Again, all those teams going for berths in the state championship game tomorrow in Fort Dodge at Rogers Park. Kyle, please give us an update on Major League Baseball as it sits at 3:52.
Yeah, we've had a few games go final already, including Mark's Twins beating the Yankees 6-1. Jose Berríos, I believe, Jose Berríos is the winner in that game. The Phillies over the Marlins 10-3. The Phillies racked up 20 hits in that game. And of course, the Cubs over the Braves 8-2. That's 6 in a row and 2 consecutive sweeps for the Cubs to begin the second half. We've got some partials as well, which Mark just taught me a little bit ago, means a game that's not done yet. The Mariners are leading the Astros 4-1 in the middle of the ninth. The Padres and the Rockies lead 9-0. The Rays lead the Athletics 2-0 in the fifth, and the Indians lead the Giants 3-1 in the fourth.
We have a poll question today, KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. The question is, how do you feel about the Big Ten possibly relaxing its no FCS team scheduling rule? Is it a good idea? Or keep the FCS off the schedule. If you missed it, the Big Ten considering, I believe, allowing its member schools that only have four conference home games in a season to schedule FCS. I have not looked into it in depth, whether it's a proposal or something very real, but sounds like it's a proposal right now. But Big Ten possibly relaxing its no FCS team scheduling rule. Thanks to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast, Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot, and behind Taco John's. I don't want any more FCS teams on the schedule. I love UNI. I'm in love with UNI. My daughter graduated from there. Covered a lot of sports, but... Or do I? Maybe I like UNI playing Iowa. I don't know.
That's the thing. I'm with you. The gut is to say, no, we need better opponents than that. But then,
is it that UNI is okay and pick an FCS school, Jackson State?
Well, we have ties to UNI, and I think that's part of what makes it okay. Iowa plays UNI, that's fine. They're an hour and a half apart. But, if we're playing Middle Nevada State Tech, then no, because it makes no sense and there's really no reason to be doing that other than looking for an easy win. So I don't want every FCS team on the schedule, but I also don't really have an issue with one if it's like close in terms of proximity or you have some sort of like a former
or if there's a chance
there.
Of losing, i.e. North Dakota State.
Yeah. What do you...
You don't want to see Iowa and Youngstown State go a square off.
No.
Okay.
No.
22-35 agrees. I hate FCS schools playing Iowa.
I'm nervous about Wyoming.
You should be.
Oh, yeah. That Josh Allen, I'm not even trying to just be the guy who's like, oh, watch out for the little school going to upset Iowa. That Josh Allen is very, very good. And he just, I've done a lot of reading about him in the offseason. He's an incredible athlete.
Well, so is Ben Roethlisberger. And he came into Iowa with Miami of Ohio team. And people were a little skittish about that. And Iowa beat him 21-3.
Yeah.
Something like that. 21-6. I don't know.
It wasn't that close.
Roethlisberger ended up okay.
He's done okay for himself. But, yeah. I mean, he's no... He's no...
We'll see about this character. I mean, it takes 11 on a side, not just one guy. So
of course.
I agree he's very good and highly thought of by NFL scouts for next year's draft. Coming up tomorrow, one of my favorite events of the year, the Open Championship at Royal Birkdale in Southport, England. It gets underway just about the time youngsters like you go to bed, Kyle.
2 a.m?
Yep. There's a six-hour difference, so you can bet that they're teeing off about 8 a.m. in England, and that's 2 a.m. Iowa time.
Oh, so you were, yeah, I'm trying to get better about that, but yeah, you nailed it.
British Open, Zach Johnson of Cedar Rapids going off at 7:04 Iowa time. That's 1:04 p.m. England time. Zach will go off with a familiar group, Jason Day and Sergio Garcia on Friday. The second round, the same group will go off about 2 a.m. Iowa time. They'll have a morning grouping in the second round, so that should be a very interesting tournament at Royal Birkdale. Zach played there and made the cut in 2008 tournament. Padraig Harrington won his second Open Championship there. I'd like to thank Chris Liss of rotowire.com for his appearance. He'll be back with us in a couple weeks. We'll be back again tomorrow with John Cranton of Jim Fife Sports in Las Vegas and KJ Pilcher of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. He will preview the state baseball tournament. That's tomorrow on the Gym Class. Thanks for listening today. We really appreciate it.
The Ford Summer Sales event is in full swing.
Is your truck going to be able to handle all these pavers for the patio?
No problem. The F-150 has got a high-strength, military-grade aluminum alloy body.
Oh.
With best-in-class payload, the F-150 can handle the work you need it to.
Remember when I had a high-strength, military-grade body?
I don't, actually. It's always a
good time. Take on summer right with Ford, America's best-selling brand, during the Ford Summer Sales.